Devices Radio Network.
Blood, Sweat, and Gear is for informational and educational purposes only. Kids, don't try this at home.
Let it flow! Let yourself go! Slow and low, that is the tempo!
Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'm Scott McNally, and with me, as always, Skip Hill and S2H. Well, not always, but one of them is usually with me. Scott, what's up, man? Welcome back to the show.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Wait, is this S2H?
Sí.
What's up, man? How you doing? That's all the Spanish you know, so.
It's been a tough morning. I had to look at Skip's face.
Briefly.
And, but no, we think it's the first time we've been on together in like a month, so I'm partially sane right now.
Yes.
There you go.
Skip, what's up with you?
I'm still laughing at the video thing.
we were playing with Skype video before we started, and Scott was showing us his gun collection, pointing them at us. Skip, I looked at your training log over at Elite, and you went on about the food that you were eating, lobster raviolis. First of all, what are these things like? I never had them before.
I eat them so fat. Right now I eat once a day, so I just eat whatever, and I'm to the point where I'm pretty much just not overeating, but I am done with eating. I pretty much ate everything or eaten everything that I ate. That's not even close to being correct. Everything I have eaten, I am over with. I just want to get back into the gym, but I've got a couple trips to make. It's just, they were good. Had some rolls with them. What has happened is I'm now sick of burgers.
Wow.
And I'm sick of breakfast. I know, because I pretty much was eating them every day. So now we've ventured out. I had gourmet cheese, or what are they? Grilled cheese.
Ooh.
Sandwiches. Yeah, they were pretty good too. So I thought, oh, that was cool. What are we going to eat today? Because basically we've been ordering out or ordering in, I guess.
Yeah.
So that we don't have to go anywhere. Every night for like 2 weeks. It's pretty pathetic. So you just run out of things to eat. You're like, oh, we could have another burger. Yay. Or we could have, pizza's horrible down here. So we've just been trying to do different, you know, try different things. We got some Italian. I'm not big on Italian, but it was, you know, it was a nice change of pace. It's so bad now that I just want to go back to eating regular bodybuilding food.
I think I might actually have a clip before we started recording. You told us when I was doing the sound check, you told us what you ate for breakfast this morning. Let me see if I can pull this up here.
Okay, and I just had 6 waffles and about 6 Oreo cookies.
Okay, so what was that, Skip, that you had? Now that you're tired of food, what did you have this morning?
Well, I was hungry, and I was in a hurry to eat so that I could get on, you know, be ready to go when it was time to record. I did have 6 waffles and about 5 or 6 Oreo cookies. So.
You got to get the blood sugar up, right?
Yes, the diet over here. Yes, I am.
You got to get that blood sugar up, and that's how you become anabolic. Prime your system for future gains. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, well, we'll go with that. I'm looking down. I look if my sound cut out. I'm looking down at my stomach right now.
Feed me now.
I'm gonna have awesome before and after pictures, because my before is gonna. You know what? A lot of people think I stay, you know, ripped and shredded all the time. This before picture will prove it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been on the scale yet. I'm just not even bothering. Pretty much with anything bodybuilding related outside of just my work, nothing.
Wow. HRT,
it will be, not now. I'm just completely off everything.
Wow. Scott, what's new with you, man? We haven't heard from you in a little while. We haven't heard from you since I was in Portland, and you and I saved the day by recording minus Skip and minus Justin Harris.
Yeah, I mean, that was our most highly rated show. So, I mean, you know, I felt pretty good about it.
Hey, we actually did get much. Really good feedback on that, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, there was no cat, midlife crisis cars, flat shoulders, and skip loading. So people were a little more excited about that show, I think. Not much. I'm actually marking my calendar today for 174 days from today when Skip's going to be on his deathbed again because it's a rotation. I know when it is, so I'm available for that.
It's predictable, and, yes.
You know, I make sure I'm not tied up. But no, it's just hot as shit and normal. Didn't get much sleep. I got home late. I'm a night owl, so if I don't go to sleep by about 10 or 11, I'm up to like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
So. That's a night owl.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Skip, well, you're the ultimate night owl, actually.
Surrounded by amateurs.
Yeah. But you were up this morning early. I was texting you at like 7 a.m.
Yeah, what had happened was it got really bad, and I was staying up until like 9 and 10 in the morning because I've been binge-watching another goddamn Netflix series, and it ended.
Which one?
So the last one I just got done with was Bloodline, and it was crazy good. Huh. So I'm back to having nothing.
And you finished Orange is the New Black, then, I take it.
Yeah, I got through, pathetically, got through 6 of those seasons in about 2.5, maybe 3 weeks.
Wow.
Back.
Wow.
Yeah. What is that about?
It's basically I consider it, and I'm being honest, kind of a chick flick type thing. I think it's more of a female audience. I might be wrong, but it's female prisoners, basically. And, I mean, there's a pretty good plot behind it and everything, but it's been going for 6 seasons, and the new season starts, I think, in only a couple of weeks. So I hurried up and got there. I binge watched it like I did Breaking Bad.
That was the new season.
6 was?
Yeah, the one post riot.
You're kidding me.
That was the new season. Yeah. That just happened.
So I got to wait a year?
I don't know, but you got to probably wait a while. Yeah.
Oh man. I didn't.
Way to go, Scott. You ruined his day.
I didn't think it was coming out till the end of August.
I don't know, but I know that was the new season, so that just started. So I doubt they would. I mean, I don't know. Would they have another one in August?
Well, this isn't giving
it
away.
This is August 20th, so no, it's done. That's it.
No shit.
Yeah, that was
it. Well, I can see how it could be. Yeah, because they're not going to do another one, right?
Oh, I don't know. I think they could.
They could. And like I said, this doesn't give it away, but. You know, she...
Oh, don't say it. Don't say it, because it will. It gives away too much.
You think it will?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just don't say it, because it's so early. Okay. There are people... Yeah, let's just not ruin anything. No spoilers here, guys.
All right. Fair.
Now, if it was an old show, like we were talking about Sopranos or something, then we could, like, give it away all day. It's like, if you haven't seen it yet, well, fuck you. You know, you're done. That's it.
You watched it, right?
Me? Yeah, I saw it all now.
So, do you think it's like a chick flick type?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so. I watched, you know, one show you mentioned last episode that I really liked, and I forgot about it for a minute, and you mentioned the name, and I didn't say anything because I didn't think about it until afterwards, and then when we were done and I was editing, I was like, oh yeah, I loved that show. It was Ozarks.
See, that new season starts the end of the month, too.
Ooh, I'm pumped for that. It's kind of like Breaking Bad, like, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. Yep, I agree. And I think it's cool because Jason Bateman apparently directs it. Oh. And he's obviously in it. It's pretty good. There's only been one season though.
Yeah. And the way that last season ended was brutal. Scott, you would like this show. There's a lot of killing.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's killing and stuff in this.
I don't watch shows.
There's a lot of guns. You don't watch anything on TV. Don't be that guy that says, I don't have a TV in my house. And then you find out later they have TV and they watch, you know, Simpsons and shit like that.
Right. Every night. Family Guy's on.
I don't watch much.
What do you watch?
The Outdoor Channel.
It drops off out here in about 10 or 12 foot of water. And we got us some fish found on that point now. I guarantee you that.
God.
Lame.
You must be a riot. Yeah, you're a
Golf.
Riot.
Golf. Bowling.
I haven't watched for over 2 minutes of a news channel in probably 4 or 5 years.
Me either.
Yeah, me. The
spokespeople, I call them.
I actually took a long TV break. I hadn't watched anything in months and months. And then I started watching Orange is the New Black. And that got me back into it. Oh, and I got another one. Have you seen? And this is another one that's kind of got some chick stuff going on in it. Could be considered a chick show, but it's not, in my opinion. Glow.
Have not heard of it. I'll check it out.
It stars Marc Maron, and Marc Maron is my hero in life in many ways. First of all, he's a comedian. He's also a podcaster, and he podcasts out of his garage in his home in L.A. He was doing a radio show that initially they didn't. I forget what the podcast was about, but right at the beginning, I think he switched from radio to podcast, and then he went through a divorce and he got really depressed and was going through like some serious shit. And he took the podcast and like just started making it about his life and dealing with his life. And it was like real, real gritty and raw. And he was real open about everything that was going on in his life. And it got real popular and it's growing. And since then, now he's had Barack Obama in his garage podcasting with him. Like he's had some major people. But he's also a great comedian, and he's in this show Glow, and he plays this like crotchety old director, and he's making it. Basically, he puts together a team of female wrestlers in the 80s. And so this is like very 80s. And I think you'll like him a lot in this show, Skip. I think you gotta see it. Yeah, it takes place.
How many seasons?
I think they have 2 seasons now.
Okay, all right.
So you got enough. I think it's an HBO show, possibly. But yeah, he's freaking awesome, man. He's my hero for sure. I was talking to Skip the other day, Scott. I asked him what he thought about adding Anadrol in. I'm dieting right now. And I'm on starvation calories because I started pulling food out and I wasn't making progress. And I pulled a little more out and I wasn't making progress. And then I finally realized, like, you know what? I'm going to need to kill myself here to get depleted. And then from there, I can start building back up. And I do see progress with that now. I'm not running a ton of gear. I'll tell you what I'm running. I'm using 3/4 of a cc of Sustanon every other day and 300 milligrams of Masteron Enanthate every week. And I just started Anadrol 50 every day. You guys think I'm going to be able to stay dry because I'm dieting and all on this?
You're pretty lean anyway.
So that's the thing.
Just run it till your pee turns orange, then you'll be fine. Kind of orange brown.
Brown. Once it gets to brown, yeah. That's when you want to quit.
Yeah, it's probably time to cut it off.
That's the thing about this drug is that if you're in your off season, you gain a lot of water, right? But I mean, you can gain a ton of water on this stuff, but dieting.
I think if you're fat.
Okay. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
The fatter you are, the more water you're going to hold. If you're lean, you're probably not going to hold. Your scale weight will go up, yeah. But you won't lose that visual. It's not like all of a sudden you'll become waterlogged when you were lean and dry before.
Okay. Yeah. Because it's something I haven't done before. You know, we talked last year about maintaining leg size and strategies for that, and one of the things I started trying was taking Anadrol just on leg days post or pre-workout, and I didn't really see too much from doing it, just like once a workout type thing once in a while. But I'm sure this will probably be a different story. First time I'll be trying it while dieting.
I recommend 200 milligrams a day for 6 months.
6 months straight.
Yeah, your pee won't be brown. It'll be the consistency of lotion.
Yeah,
if you do that.
You've done it into a show, right, Skip?
No, not into a show, but no. I did it in the early stages of my prep, and I really liked it. Okay. I wanted to run it while I was running DNP because I wanted my appetite. I wanted Anadrol ruins your appetite for most people.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be on the Anadrol while I was on the DNP, and I thought it worked great.
Hmm. Yeah, that's the thing I'm always been concerned about, and that's the reason I stayed away from it, because I've used it in the off season, and when I did, it destroyed my appetite at any decent dose, 50 milligrams or more, my appetite would go down. But yeah, at this point, I don't think you could totally kill it. You know, when you're on a low calorie diet, low carbs, low fats.
No, I mean, the diet plays a direct role with Anadrol's action in your body. So it's like anything. I mean, if you're really lean and you're eating super clean, like a show diet, you can take a lot of things and you don't have nearly the bad, the retention, water retention and everything that you have when you're off season because you're not eating that clean.
Yeah.
Training different. So, yeah.
Well, I'll see. If I get some extra strength out of it, that'd be nice too.
You might. I still say take 200 a day.
All right.
Then
well,
then you definitely will.
Yeah. I tried to put something together here, guys. We're going to try to do something a little bit different for, you know, we've got our regular listener questions. You know, if anybody wants to ask us questions, you can go over to advicesradio.com and click on the forums, or just go directly to forum.advicesradio.com. And in the bodybuilding section, it's toward the top, you can find stickies that are at the top of the board there for all of the shows. And that's for Muscle Minds, Clinical Muscle, and for Blood, Sweat, and Gear. So you can ask questions to basically give us material to talk about and, you know, continue making shows. So we much appreciate all the questions you guys ask. That's been the format, I think, in general for our podcasts and for shows that came before us, shows you guys did in the past even. And we're going to try something new today. We're going to work in a couple of listener call-ins. What do you guys think about this idea?
I couldn't sleep last night. I was so excited.
Yeah. I think we'll get new information that we hadn't gotten from people before. Because usually what do we end up saying? We say, I wish I had more information. And so this will be an opportunity for us to try to find that. Anyway, let's take a quick commercial break, guys. When we come back, we will start with one of our listener call-ins. Here we go.
We'll be right back.
Team Skip has been synonymous with bodybuilding conditioning for the last two decades. From NFL players to professional bodybuilders to 40-something guys that just want to kill it in the gym and their shirt sleeves. If you have too much skin, call Skip. TeamSkip.com, because skin is overrated.
Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
This is Matthew. How may I help you?
Hey, Matt. How's it going? This is Scott and Skip and S2H from Blood, Sweat, and Gear.
Awesome, brother. How are you?
Good. I think that like the legal thing to do is to let you know that you are on the radio. Not that we really care about following laws, you know, but yeah.
Well, there's sure. The other part that you have to let him know that he did not win $1,000 in supplements, because now I don't want to fuck myself on that one.
This is true.
Damn.
Where are you at, brother?
Well, in reference to like geography, well, yeah. Or where am I at right now?
Yeah, where are you at emotion? No, where? What city are you in?
I'm just opposite of Skip on the other side of the state. I'm in Tampa, right? Well, I'm in Manatee County, which is just south of Scott.
Oh, okay, just south of Scott Stevenson.
Right.
Okay, excellent.
You got that red tide thing going over there?
Yeah, my clients, because I own a real estate practice as well as coaching, but my clients are just complaining terribly. I guess you can smell it for miles.
I was in Key West, and I could smell it down there, and it wasn't even supposed to be that bad down there. I can only imagine what it's like up near you.
What is this?
Oh, yeah, it's red tide. It's a bacteria that gets in the water, and it's actually red in color. In any case, it just kills, it's a bacteria, and it kills all the fish.
Oh, wow.
And it reeks.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Gross understatement. It's like, it's rough.
So,
it's death.
You've got a question for us, right, Matt? What's your question?
So my question was more so for, because it's a question that I've been able to answer in the past with clients that I've worked with, but it's more so along the lines of, you know, what do you do when you get somebody that comes to you that, whether it be obsessive compulsive dieting, an eating disorder, what have you, but they go through these spurts where it could be years of yo-yo dieting, and abuse of stimulants, and they're essentially in prep mode for years, quote unquote, but yet they want to go right into another diet again. And they're not lean because they've been yo-yo dieting and binge eating and so forth. So what do you do with somebody like that?
What do you say? Fire him. What are your thoughts, Skip?
Skip?
I think Skip beamed up. He went out to go for a swim.
I guess so. I guess we lost Skip.
No, what we did was, I don't know how to work the microphone mute button.
Oh, yes.
So that means you got my cough because I thought I was muted. And then when I was done coughing, I turned the mute button on. So then I couldn't hear anything.
We didn't get the cough either, but you, okay. Very good try though. I definitely applaud the effort.
Apparently I'm an amateur when it comes to working these buttons. No, it's a tough spot because you can then tell the client, especially if they're a potential client, ready to come on and they're willing to pay you, you're looking at it going, well, I can tell this client that I can't do it, that they're not in a position right now to go into diet mode. Mm-hmm. And I could take, you know, the next couple months and kind of what I call, kind of reset, I guess is the best way to put it, reset their metabolism. And they're going to think to themselves, well, I'll just try to contact other people. And then they end up working with somebody else. Now, when it comes to a matter of principle, I guess that would be, you know, the right thing to do. And that's the way it goes, I guess. But if you are, let's say you're working with this client and you've got them on board already and they want to do that, then you really can't go into diet mode because you're not going to be very successful. You're going to do what I always say, I call it, essentially you're forcing the body to get lean. And whether you force when you try to do that, when you try to force the body lean, it only lasts for so long. So it's just, without that reset, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah,
and I think the best thing you can do is, go ahead.
You can't take nothing from nothing. In other words, you're already in a deficit. You're already using whichever, you know, fat burners that you've got going. They're already on AI, and they're already on, you know, all types. They come to me with a laundry list of, you know, gear that they're using. You can do nothing with that. You have to reset. You have to clean out.
Right. And I think your biggest effort at that point is whether you can sell them or how to sell them and convince them that they need to step back and be able to reset. And if you're able to do that, then great. And if you're not, then who knows? They may want to work with somebody else. And there's plenty of people in line who are willing to take the money and tell them, no, I can do it. I can do it. And they're probably not going to be able to do it.
Sure. Well, I mean, and there's a way, and you know, there is a way to do it, but is it worth it? And ultimately, it's not. I mean, because at the end of the day, you're just doing more damage. And when I, you know, when I go back to saying when they're already on AI and things like that, I mean, obviously, you're going to use that when you're using any types of performance enhancement in most cases, but the blood markers are going to be completely skewed. You're not going to get any type of baseline, as it were. So you don't really know what to do.
Well, I think too, I mean, you made the comment that, you know, implying that it can still be done. Sometimes it can still be done, and sometimes you can force it to happen, but it's a crapshoot. And I think most times it's going to be incredibly difficult to get. I mean, it depends on what the goal is. If the goal is just to get lean, then that's one thing. If it's to get into your best condition and you're going to step on stage, that's something entirely different. So,
stepping
on stage, it's a hell of a gamble. And then they're going to get down after spending all that time and that effort and potentially not get to, you know, get to the point where they wanted to be. And of course, then your name is on them and it just gets ugly.
Exactly.
I could see that.
I actually just dealt with somebody that had this problem.
Yeah? What'd you do?
It was a guy that I've worked with, known for a long time, just on and off. And kind of like what Matt said, he's, you know, weighs everything real strict to his diet. And he had used a certain diet that worked well for him for 6 months, about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And then he got away from that and he was trying to get leaner, and he's already fairly in pretty good shape normally. And so then he switched to a different diet that he'd used in the past and it didn't really work. And then he switched back to the one he was using and back and forth, and he wasn't really getting the gym wasn't feeling real good, you know, wasn't getting pumps, and he was, you know, sleep was a little bit less, and just some things, you know, feeling off. And you know, what I, a couple of things was, one of the diets he had used, you know, 7 or 8 years ago that worked well. And I said, you know, you're 7 or 8 years older. So the diets that worked when you were 25 don't always work as great when you're 35 or 40. Mm-hmm. And, cause your body changes. And, so I just, he wasn't eating any, a lot of carbohydrates for lengthy periods of time. And so I just told him, hey, just go get a regular diet. Kind of just gave him some macros and spread it out over the day to, you know, four meals. And he was doing some intermittent fasting, which I'm not too crazy on. And actually, I heard from this morning, he said he was feeling a lot better. It's been like maybe a week or so. And yeah, you sometimes you just got to be normal, you know, to an extent. I mean, you can still eat clean, but you have to get a more balanced diet, you know, fiber, fats, carbs, and your protein, and not get real high on one end of it, just a standard, and eat a little more, you know, four meals a day, not six, not two. And, you know, he said it was feeling a lot better. Gym felt better and all that. But the stimulant part too screws people up, because, I mean, as we all know, the more you use stimulants on a regular basis, the more of them you use. And that can become problematic in a lot of ways, depending on what the stimulant is too. But it's not a, that's a tough road to hoe. You know, it gets pretty, it can be problematic. So that's my take.
All right. Well, good stuff. I hope that does this help you a little bit, Matt?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And then it was more so for, I think, everybody's benefit, because it's one thing that I've been coming across a lot more frequently with clients that want to diet for contest. They come to me with adrenal fatigue and, you know, they can't sleep, and their diet is just this yo-yo of garbage, and they haven't come off in years. And it gets down to the point where, short of throwing DMP at them, you know, in insane amounts, which I am not an advocate of doing, which is, which would be the only other way that you could go about that respectively, meaning if they've already got everything else going, what more could you do?
Not much.
You can't take any more. Yeah, you don't have any other options. So short of doing that, it's a clean out. And so that makes sense.
Well, thanks a lot for your time, man. Thanks for your call and your participation. It's much appreciated.
Thanks, brother. Y'all have a great day.
All right, Matt. Take it easy.
You too, brother. Bye. See you. All right, guys. Well, we got one to work, and I actually have I have another one here too. We've got it's actually somebody who helps me out a lot here at Advices. She does a lot of our Instagram stuff. She's been on a couple of shows. She helped out. She sat in for VJ actually on Bodybuilding Nerds one time too. So this is Andrea Watson, as I'm sure some of you guys probably know her as. Give me just a minute here, and I am going to ring her up. All right, and now we will just wait as the phone rings, and she should be on in a minute here.
Hello?
Hey, Andrea Watson. This is Scott and Skip and S2H from Blood, Sweat, and Gear. Thanks for participating with our call-in today.
Well, I feel very honored to be a part of the show. Thanks for calling me from a super suspicious blocked number.
That's the Skype thing. When we call phones using Skype, it shows up that way. Sometimes it shows up as weird places, like from Africa. So,
yeah, an African prince calling to have me wire the money.
Yes. So, Andrea, this is Scott and S2H. Or, I'm sorry, Scott and Skip.
Yeah, I'm here, too. Yeah.
I'm in Kenya.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
I'm good.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. All right, so should I just shoot my question while I'm on the line?
Yeah, what do you need to know?
It's not super serious, but I was just wondering what the most cringeworthy interaction you guys had seen between a guy and a girl at a gym has been.
Ooh. Ooh. There's so many of them. And I feel like I was part of many of those conversations.
That's okay.
You know, just like,
maybe we can amend that to what's the most cringeworthy interaction you've had with a girl at the gym.
No, honestly, I don't really talk to girls at the gym ever, just because I assume, like, just like if you were at a bar, I assume that everybody just assumes that if you're talking to them, you're trying to hit on them. And so for that reason, most every time I just I focus on what I'm doing. But I have to think there's got to be, like, I don't know. Here's the thing. I feel like there's a lot of gym romances, and it's not like one individual situation. And then once that romance dies off, that's when the drama starts. And there's some really weird, weird moments where he's got his friends and she's got her friends. And eventually it ends in one of them no longer going to that gym. One way or the other, it always ends that way.
I can see that. Anybody else got any good specific examples?
I am racking my brain. If you do, go for it, Scott, because I'm over here wringing out my hands going, oh, I'm so on the spot here. Let's see. Go ahead.
I could think of a couple, but probably the most cringeworthy was, remember back like whenever we used to wear those baggy-ass tiger stripe workout, the golds pants?
Zumbas, yeah.
Yeah. There was a guy on a leg sled with his girlfriend. Well, there was a guy on a leg sled with his girlfriend at a small gym I went to, and they were getting after it in the leg sled. Through his Zumba pants.
He what?
Ew.
He what?
They were doing it on the leg sled.
Oh, they were. When you said getting after it, I thought you meant they were like training hard. They were actually doing it.
Yeah.
Define doing it.
That would be him and her connected. And he was wearing, the best thing was he was still wearing his knee wraps.
In a gym in the middle of the day.
Yeah, it was a small gym. You know, there's like 3 or 4 people in there.
I like how you say that, like that somehow excuses it.
Yeah,
it makes it totally normal.
Yeah,
yeah, well, it was a small gym. It's no big deal.
Yeah, it was me. I was bored. Yeah.
You know,
the trend does weird things, you know.
Yeah. Unlike Scott, I actually looked at girls back then, you know. So, you know, it happened.
Oh God.
Yeah, that was probably the one of them. Yeah, probably one of the top things.
Mine didn't happen during gym hours. Is that regular gym hours? Does that still count?
Did it happen at a gym?
That totally counts.
It did happen at a gym.
Okay.
Yes. Now, you know, I've worked for a couple gyms, especially when I was younger. Shortly after meeting my wife, it doesn't have anything to do with my wife.
Uh-huh.
I'll leave those stories for another day. But we would go into this gym. I was probably 20 years old, and I had this, you know, I don't know about you guys, but at that age, you usually have like that one person that you hang out with and you guys are always together. You're like bros and you do everything together, that sort of shit. So we're in the gym and it's late at night and we have to have the lights off because we don't want, you know, the owner to come by and happen to see the lights on or anything like that. So we're in there and we're training. And I'm in the middle of the gym, and I can see this like it was yesterday, and it clearly wasn't because I'm old, so it was about 28 years ago. All of a sudden, this dumb son of a bitch comes out of the back room with his pants down around his knees, hands over his head, and I know this sounds really fucking dumb, like, sure, because I have a hard time even explaining it to make it sound like to explain how it was, but he comes out and the goddamn pants are down around his underwear and everything. And he has arms in his air and he runs across the gym and he's giggling like a fucking 9-year-old. And I'm standing there looking at him, and I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing? He pulled his pants up, came back over, and kept training.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's cringeworthy. I know. I don't know if that's cringeworthy, yet being put on the spot, that's about the only dumb or the only odd thing that I can think of off the top of my head.
That's pretty cringeworthy. That's pretty frightening.
I didn't ask him. I had no real dialogue with him because it was so awkward that I just thought, like maybe it was his idea of streaking. I don't even fucking know. And we were tight.
So you just like ignored it and carried on?
I didn't know what the fuck to say. I remember saying like, what the fuck? And he just came over like nothing happened. Maybe he felt awkward about it because of my response. I'm not real sure. And just training and it was no big deal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Tell me you got tested, Skip.
Yeah, that's funny you say that because I was waiting for somebody because I wondered the same thing.
Huh.
Like, are you trying to get me? Like, are we going to train butt naked? What is your thought process here? Like, why would you do that? Unless it was just something spur of the moment that he thought I would think was just hilarious and we would laugh our asses off and he was somehow creating some kind of hilarious memory. But it was just so fucking bizarre. And the last thing I would have expected from him, because I knew him, it wasn't anything like that I would ever think he would ever do, and never talked about it. Didn't want to bring that one up again.
Been over row time.
Nah, there is one more, I guess, the more I think about it. One that happened at the current gym that I train at. Not right now, because I'm not training right now. But I did. It was really busy. It was about 4 or 5 in the afternoon on a probably midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that. And I looked over on the Smith machine because I was probably waiting for it because there's one that I like and everybody and their mother has to use it. And I see the guy that was getting down onto the bench to do probably incline bench or flat bench or something. And he reaches up the other guy's leg and up into his shorts, and the guy kind of coyly smacks his hand and just goes, stop that.
Whoa, geez.
I told you, don't do that. And I thought to myself, at first I was like, oh my God, like what the fuck? And I'm like, oh shit, I'm a Titan. You know, a lot of these guys are gay.
Yeah.
So I felt bad because I'm like, oh, I'm probably repulsed because they're gay. Well, that's weird because I'm pro-gay. I don't give a fuck about. And then I thought to myself, I'm like, you know what? If that were a guy and a girl, I still would think, what the fuck would you do that for in the gym?
True.
And then I'm like, I don't know. Am I just acting old? So I'm sitting here having this fight, this battle in my head.
Yeah.
And then I realized I don't really fucking care. And I went back to training.
Hmm.
I think that's the best approach.
But not,
I mean,
again,
unless you wanted to join in.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought to myself, I'm like, oh, gay guys play the same grab ass that straight guys do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I could see myself, the more I think about it, you know, if my wife is going to spot me, I'm going to make some kind of crass statement.
Of course.
You know, about being able to, yeah, like, why did you wear underwear today? Or, you know, or something piggish.
Yeah.
Something like that.
All right. Well, thank you for the question, Andrew.
What's your story? I want to hear her story. She's got to have a story. She has.
Yeah, to come up with that question, there would have to be a story there.
That's true. And guys, she trains at Gold's in Venice, so there's got to be a few stories.
I train at Gold's, so every day is like a unique shit show, you know what I mean? Let's see. This isn't too bad, but last year I was doing lying leg curls, I think, and I felt a presence hovering over me. And I looked up, and there was a guy that I'd never seen before or registered before, never talked to before. He was kind of neckbeardy, like didn't really look like he trained. And he didn't even introduce himself or like say hello. He was just like, would you want to go out with me sometime? He's like, I see you in here all the time. Would you want to go out sometime? He seemed really nervous, and I was like, no. And then he just said okay and walked away, and I don't think I've ever seen him again.
Huh. And that's while you're doing a set?
Yeah, he came and was kind of like mouth breathing over me while I was doing my set.
Huh. Well, he probably got busted while you were doing leg curls. You know, I know myself. I've introduced myself when women are doing adductor work. I mean, that's normal.
Well, I mean, if you're not making awkward eye contact while you're on the adductor machine, like, you're not even doing it right.
Well, yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, that's true. It wasn't eye contact. That's bad, too, if you think about it. If someone comes up to you, what I don't understand about adductor machines, too, is why gyms never put them facing a wall. Hmm. They're always facing the entire fucking gym. So, you know, when you walk by and a woman is doing it, and you're just almost putting your hand up next to your eyes so that you don't accidentally even just make eye contact or look at them, because, and maybe it's because I'm older. And if it's a
no, young, speaking, I got to interrupt you on this one, because I did have another, we'll say, interaction where I was on the adductor machine and it is facing the rest of the gym, the one I was using, and some older guy walked by and made eye contact with me and gave me like a really enthusiastic two thumbs up, and then just kept walking.
Nice.
So like, you go out with him, right?
My buddy saw it. He was on an app machine across the walkway, and he saw it, and he just gave me the most confused look afterwards. Like, did that just really happen? And I still don't know what it was about to this day, but apparently my adductor work warrants enthusiasm. So
that's two thumbs up.
Well, they just haven't learned the stealth way of looking. So you stretch in front of the machine on the floor sitting down, and when the plates go up, you look through them.
Yeah, that's really
stealthy. You have to be wearing your like zebra pants while you're doing it.
Well, no, generally not then. You know,
yeah, stay married. Okay,
just stay married. My slide shorts. That's a whole other story. We can't get into that.
All right, I should probably get back to work, but. Thank you for calling me, Scott.
Absolutely. Thanks for being with us, Andrea.
Take care.
All right, anytime. Talk to you guys later.
Bye. Bye.
I've got a visual of that guy from your gym now, Skip, just stuck in my head. And that's
Isn't it? It's just
terrifying
weird.
Me. It's terrifying.
Yeah. Right. You could you tell when I'm trying to explain it? Like, I'm almost tripping over my words.
Yeah.
I don't even like the guy anymore. He ended up, I won't get into it, but he fucked me over pretty bad that you wouldn't think a good friend would, and that sort of thing. But even the fact that I don't like him, I still find telling that story on the few occasions that I have told it, it's just awkward. It's just not, I guess that to me is cringeworthy, I guess, the more I think about it.
Yeah. All right. We've got questions still. This is from Furious Maximus over at the Advices Boards. He says, I've tried four different brands of creatine over the years. All have given me involuntary muscle cramps after training. This is a supposed myth, but it happens to me. Anyone heard of this? First of all, I didn't know that there was a myth that creatine caused muscle cramping. Had you guys ever heard that before?
I have not.
How about you, Scott? You ever hear that creatine causes cramps?
Not really.
Okay. And he's getting these involuntary muscle cramps after training, no matter what creatine he uses. My only thought would be hydration.
Yeah, it would have to be related somehow. My other thought is just why even bother to use it, even if you don't have cramps? But
yeah.
I mean, he must really be set on using it if he continues to have all these. I'm assuming they're bad cramps, otherwise he probably wouldn't be asking about it. And it sounds like he's tried to go through different types of creatine to get around it. And I think the obvious question, or my question, would be, why is it that important to you to use it? I just don't see and I know I've said this a million times before, but I'll say it again. I just don't see enough of a benefit from the product to even spend, if it's $20 or $30, I just don't think it's worth it. Like I said before, I get all my supplements for free, and I still won't use a creatine. I just think it's basically a waste of money. And I don't know how you guys feel about it. You guys might love it, but I'm just not that big on it.
Here's how I feel. I take creatine every workout, and that's because I take a pre-workout that just happens to have creatine in it. I don't buy creatine on its own.
Okay.
You know, I'm with you. If it doesn't seem to do very much. I, for a natural guy, maybe if it's going to give you a little bit, if you get something from it, I feel like I've gotten better pumps from it. And if I didn't have any other options, then maybe. But I definitely, I'm with you, man. I don't think you need it. So, especially if he's using gear. What were you starting to say, Scott?
I would say probably he's using a powder.
Okay.
And his stomach, he's having trouble digesting it. And so that stomach lines water, try to help to digest. So if he's going to try it, I would say use those caps. What is it? The yellow and black. They've been around forever.
Wait a minute. Okay. Is he talking about abdominal, like stomach cramps? Cause that's not what I was thinking when he said
but
cramps.
If you don't have enough water in your stomach's having problems digesting stuff, then the water lines his stomach. He's got no water in his muscles or not enough.
Right. But you're probably referring more to stomach cramps, right?
I think muscle.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I got confused there because I know I was thinking that the question was about muscle cramps.
Yeah.
And I thought you were talking about that there wasn't enough water in the gut and he was having like stomach cramps from it. Okay.
No. If the water is going to the gut and he's not properly hydrated, let's say, then he may not have enough water in his muscles. So that's possible. I mean, that's just a guess, but I would say if he's going to try those caps, the, what did I say they were called? Concrete.
Oh yeah. You like those.
Yeah. That might be a better way to go. No. Better is just don't use it. Need a stake.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Next question from UC Suma, Matt Marshall. He says for oral yohimbine HCL use, it's reported to lose efficiency when taken in a fed state. Would that apply to topical applications as well?
Yep.
Yeah?
Well, yeah, because it's being absorbed into the bloodstream. I understand there's an argument for topical use that it has some kind of effect on the area that it's applied to. I can't say that it does or it doesn't, but I can say that if it has any impact at all, and I say that it's not likely, if it has any impact at all, it's pretty insignificant. I've used topical yohimbine enough to say that I have never noticed, and I have used a lot of it. Mm. I know last year I used it quite a bit, and it's a giant pain in the ass to use because you're obviously getting all sticky and grimy. And then, you got to remember to always use, you got to wash your hands because when you take your hands to your mouth, and that's shitty too, because it always, yeah, exactly. Or you grab, an ass while you're having sex that has, it was put on 3 hours ago and you don't know that it's on there anymore.
Or while you're still at the gym.
Other places.
On the leg press. Exactly.
I just don't think that it works all that. If it works topically, it's relatively insignificant in my opinion. So, yeah, it goes into the bloodstream, and that's why I just don't think the topical is very good. I don't like to use it. The cost to benefit isn't there when you can take it orally and not have a mess, not get it on your hands, not get it in places that you don't want it, that sort of thing.
All right. Hey, guys. Hey, Scott, for the sake of time, do you mind if I cut to the next question? Because I think this one's, that'll be right up your alley. It's unless.
Thanks.
Okay. Says best protocol. You what?
I don't have anything on the yohimbine.
I thought this one would be for you. This is tailor-made for S2H. Says, what's the best protocol for using IGF-LR3 for bulking? What dose is best? Do you use this in place of insulin? If you do, what amount of carbs per microgram do you suggest in order to make sure that you don't go hypo? Do you keep using GH at the same time while implementing IGF-LR3? And I'm excited to hear what you say because I started using IGF again recently, Scott, I remembered we had a conversation on the show not too long ago, and you said you ran it different ways, and there was just one way you found that you felt was the best. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm following what you said. So we did talk about it a little bit before, but if you wouldn't mind expanding upon it here, that would be awesome, man.
So you want me, he wants to know the best way to use it. And that was the other part of the question.
Best way to use it. And he says, do you use this in place of insulin? And if so, how do you go about figuring out how many carbs to use? And do you keep GH in while using this?
GH, yes. But it would be just in the morning. We now would just say do it every other day. Insulin, probably, maybe I have, but I would say no. Not totally necessary. And then that's a pretty, I mean, saying just use insulin, I don't really, I mean, you could probably, you know, something like a pre-workout Humalog with your normal. I mean, most people, their ratio of carbs, which is good to start out with, especially if you're new with it, is to use the standard ratio. But most people can use, you know, as they toy around with it, can use less, you know, carbs per IU.
But that's for insulin, right? He's wondering, do you need to do that same thing though with IGF or no?
No, I mean the IGF part, the way I found it to work was with LR3, and so have it pre-ready, and then as soon as you finish your last set, boot scoot off to the locker room and knock it out. You could probably start around 40, 50, 60, you know, it depends. If I say 40, be good, and then work your way up. Post-workout, only training days. And then I used to use, and actually it wasn't really that, it even lost its popularity kind of by then, but was Torrent, and which is Waxy Maze. Mm. But Torrent worked better than everything else.
Really?
And so I would use one scoop of Torrent. I did a couple of different things with it, but usually it'd be like a scoop of Torrent, a scoop of unflavored whey isolate or hydrolyzed, or it'd be flavored, but didn't have unflavored, just tastes bad. But and then water. And I used to throw like creatine there at one time, but I don't think that's really necessary. Just those two. And then so, you know, as soon as you're done with that last set, haul ass in there, pop it, flush it, chug your drink, and about half of it, and then sip the rest of it on the way home, and then eat a meal with some, not a ton of carbs, but a little complex carbs, probably within 45 minutes or so. That seemed to work. Like, I mean, I got leaner doing that.
Yeah.
I also got real vascular, fuller. So, I mean, it kind of had kind of that dual effect most that, you know, I think anybody would be looking for. And I just stumbled across it just doing shit. You know, it wasn't like I had any kind of, real reason to do it like that. It just, I was like, I just dicking around with it, and it was like worked. I mean, within a couple of days of training, I was like, wow, I'm like, you know, it'd be 3-4 hours of done training, I'm like, veins are popping out still, and stayed real full, and didn't have any hypo issues with just the LR3 in there. You know, if you used Humalog pre-workout with it, you could, it would be okay, it would work good, but you'd have to, I would say, probably stay on the lower side of the of that. You know, depending on how long your workouts are, too. I mean, mine weren't that long, 45 minutes or so. But, yeah. No, I mean, it. You know, there's a quality issue, too. I mean, I think there's, you know, you might get some that's not as good as the other, and I don't know who does what anymore on that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, it was pretty – it was one of those, like, you know, when you just do something, all of a sudden it's like, wow, this is working. And didn't really – not something that people were talking about or heard about. It was trial and error.
Okay.
Who asked that question?
This is Dream Weaver from the board.
Okay, well, Dream Weaver needs to know that he just got far more of a response to his IGF question than Scott usually gives when it comes to protocols like this.
Yeah.
I lost the last half of what Scott said, though, after he said boot scoot to the locker room.
That means get there in a hurry.
No. I got you. Yeah.
I found if I waited, like even just so I got back to the house or even 20 minutes or something, it didn't work as good. Could have been placebo a little bit, but I mean, I didn't have the same effect.
Totally with you. I'm just stuck on the verbiage.
You like that? Yeah, you should work that into your daily repertoire, Skip.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get going because I got to boot scoot out of here.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You did good. That was good, Skip.
Can you and Todd touch his talk? I'm going to boot scoot.
All right. I did have one more question. These were from the last episode. We didn't cover them because we were waiting for you. Let's see here. Guy wants to know about growth hormone. Again, this is his first time using it. He understands the way that – actually, he says he's going to run it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday like you guys have suggested. That's pretty similar to what you've said, right, Scott? You say every other day. Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah, Monday, Wednesday, Friday is fine.
Okay. He says, my questions are, what blood tests should be used to make sure that the HGH is real? And how long should you use the HGH before taking these blood tests? Is there a particular way or protocol that he should go about doing this, like taking the GH and then, you know, going to get blood drawn X amount of hours after that? How does this work?
So 10 IUs, IM into the shoulder or whatever lean part of your, it's, you know, in the lean muscle.
Okay.
About an hour before, go get a blood draw, get an IGF-1 test done.
Okay. IGF-1, that's what you want to see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yep. So, and that's usually a pretty good indicator. You know, everybody metabolizes stuff differently. And, you know, this was a big thing for a while and boards and stuff, and people were doing a lot of it. You know, it got to be where everybody was testing stuff. And, you know, you're going to see some inconsistencies from one person to another because we all metabolize things differently. And there is a window in there that, you know, if you're 10 minutes later or 10 minutes earlier, you could potentially have a decent sway in the number. I mean, you know, you're not going to always catch that right at its peak. But in general, yeah, you're going to see a pretty good lift in those numbers.
Okay.
Oh, you have to have a baseline too. That helps. Because a lot of people go get the test done. They're like, oh, you know, mine's all high. Well, what the hell is your baseline number? So nobody, if you don't know your baseline, you're really kind of, unless it's just really weight, you know, something extreme, you don't really even know if that's really accurate or not.
Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Next question for Skip. Alcohol and skip loading. We know Skip doesn't drink, but I've heard him mention both his wife and clients sometimes drink on their loads. Now, I'm not talking about getting drunk, but does 1 to 2 drinks during the load impede progress at all? And if so, to what degree? 10% less results? 20% less? Would like to hear your thoughts behind this topic. Thank you. And this is from somebody going by Fluffy One at the Advices Radio board.
Okay, well, I can tell you that Fluffy One is an alias for my wife. I guarantee it. I'm sure she's trying to get a little bit of extra information because she doesn't believe what I'm telling her. No, I don't like this question.
Why?
I don't like it because you can get away a couple. If you drink a couple beers or something during a skip load, it isn't going to matter, and it's going to have no impact on anything, really.
Okay.
That's the honest answer. What happens, though, is, and I always say this, eating, you don't just eat or drink things because you can get away with them. You eat or drink things because they're providing something in the way of a benefit to get you closer to your goals. So, you know, that's why I think I have a hard time with beer. You're not drinking the beer because, number one, because it tastes so awesome. And I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if you're a longtime beer drinker or whatever else. Kool-Aid tastes 10 times better than beer. Okay. Soda, even if you're not a soda drinker, soda tastes way better than beer.
It does.
You're drinking beer because you like to drink beer because you like a little bit of a buzz. I'm not going to knock it. I get that. I mean, even though I haven't drank in a while, I drank prior to that and I drank for one reason, not because it tastes good, but because it gave me a buzz. So you can get away with a couple of them without any problem. I'm not putting numbers on it going, oh, it's 10%, because the next question is going to be, well, what if I drink five? Well, then it's only going to be 20%, right, Skip? I can't say, you know, I can't say to what degree it impacts. It's just, if you're going to have a beer or two, have it during your skip load. If drinking is that important to you, and I don't mean that in a condescending way, I'm saying if it is that important to you and you want to work a couple beers into your, you know, week or whatever, it would definitely benefit you to have them during your skip load versus outside of that. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Or have them with a cheat meal or something like that. But do I think it's, you know, optimum? No, I don't. And another thing that I'll point out too, is I did take a lot of my clients, well, damn near all of them, off of drinking carbohydrates to get more carbs. And the reason for that is because food allows enough time to tell your brain whether you're satiated or full, but drinking carbs, whether it be in the form of, you know, soda or, you know, fruit punch or something like that, it even apple juice and orange juice, it doesn't allow that to happen. Now, if you have a glass of orange juice with, you know, some pancakes, okay, cool. But, you know, I was getting clients who were drinking, you know, they would say they'd have three Coca-Colas with a burger and fries. Well, when you start doing that, if you're drinking a lot of calories, it doesn't allow your brain enough time to tell you whether you're satiated and whether to stop or whether you've had enough food or enough calories from carbs. So it's better to eat those food or eat those calories and carbs than it is to drink them.
That makes sense. Scott, do you ever get the craving to drink? Do you ever want like a nice cold beer?
I can't. Well, no, I haven't drank in, probably had three drinks or four in the last 10 years, but I can tell you this anecdotally. I was doing a prep. I used to drink a lot. And the first time I really got competed and got good shape, I didn't drink for like 20 something weeks, 24 or whatever it was, which was not really that easy because I liked to drink back then. And the second time I had I was working with my old coach. I had Friday because I was getting probably 6 weeks out. And so we were starting to move carbs in to like Fridays and a little bit in Saturday, you know, because of the show timing and everything. So I started, I don't know why, but I started drinking wine on Friday nights. It was like my night. And, I had two big glasses, so that would equal a bottle, you know. And I had trouble. I mean, I was losing body fat. Everything was going the right way. And I just did that only, was the only change. And I kind of didn't, you know, my prep kind of slowed down. But being that I'm not a quitter, I just kept doing it on Friday nights. But I would say it probably affected it because those two preps were not very far apart. They were, you know, like a year apart, you know, 1 year and the next year. Why is that? I don't know. I mean, it's extra calories, but it's hard to say. Yeah. I didn't get the same results. So I got, you know, like ninth instead of eighth or something, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I, you know, being in recovery, I don't drink, but the only time I ever crave a beer is two times. One, when I'm super dehydrated, like usually like when I'm dieting for a contest and it's you're dehydrating for the show. I just want to drink something. And if the thought of beer came to my head, there's been times where I'm like, yeah, I'd really go for a beer. Or, and this is more likely, when I'm very dieted and I'm starving. And I know what it is. I want the carbs, but I think like, yeah, right. Sound of a beer. That sounds good right now. I'm not thinking about getting drunk, but what it is I just want like all the carbs out of it. You know, I start craving weird stuff. Like I don't like olives, but I want to eat olives when I'm dieting real hard too.
That's normal.
I think so. Yeah. All right. I'm going to pull up one more question here. Then we will call it a day. It says a question for all three of you. But I'm sure S2H will be nominated to reply. Oh, it's another GH question. We got so many people asking about growth hormone lately, since he's considered
better DNP.
Yeah, well, DNP stopped. That. I think the DNP stopped. We've heard very little about DNP until Matt Sharp brought it up today. Outside
and
of that,
Scott just brought it up again.
Yes,
yep. Call Skip. Skip's the expert.
Yeah. Okay.
says, nominated to reply since he's considered the show GH expert. Diet is the best it's ever been. 450 grams of protein, 250 grams of carbs on training days, 100 grams carbs on non-training days, 100 grams fat per day, coming from about 80% good fats. It says monosaturated 3 and 6. He's 5'8", 210 pounds, roughly 12% body fat. He's currently using 600 milligrams test SIP, 400 milligrams of Equipoise, training DC style and every other day as Dante prescribes. Okay, enough background, and the question about my GH protocol is this. Workout days, I'm using 3 units of nootropin pre-workout along with 10 units of Humulin R. Post-training, I'm using 100 micrograms of IGF-LR3 and 12.5 milligrams of MK677 pre-bed. Non-training days, I'm using CJC with DAC, 500 micrograms, 200 micrograms of hexarelin in the AM, and CJC with DAC at 10 AM, and then 12.5 milligrams of MK677 before bed. So basically he's saying he does the growth in insulin combo on training days and then uses hexarelin and CJC on non-training days. I'm having really good success. I recently went from 188 pounds to 210 and actually have gotten leaner. Could you give me some thoughts or criticisms on this protocol? Any suggestions to make it better? Or do you see any holes that could be filled? Just looking to do things as efficient as possible. Sorry for the long question, but the more detail and info, the better you can answer. Love the show. Keep up the good work. S2H sounds like another one that you would specialize in.
Okay, how much growth was it?
Growth hormone, he's taken 3 units.
A day.
And on says he's using that pre-workout with 10 units of Humulin R. That's only on training days only. So every other day.
I would just save your money and throw the peptides out or not get them. I don't think they're doing any good.
No?
It's so minimal with those that I can't really see where you're going to get with that Humulin R and with the growth, especially using a legitimate pharmaceutical grade one. I mean, I really can't see where those are going to do anything for you other than make your wallet get smaller. Mm. Because if his IGF levels are at after running that for 10 days and then continuing on with that every day, they're not going anywhere. So what's the use of the peptides? I don't see any use in them.
Okay. So that includes the MK677 pre-bed?
That one, you could take it or leave it. I don't really see where it does much either. I mean, you're using the most powerful anabolic drug out there, insulin, and then you're using a pharmaceutical grade growth hormone at not a huge level, but at a level where your IGF levels are highly elevated. So I don't really see where the MK or the peptides really are going to, I mean, you're talking about putting the last little cherry on a massive cake. Okay. I don't really think it's going to do that much difference.
Okay.
Again, I think he could go every other day, on the GH, and his IGF levels are not going to change. Or just do it on training days, before he's doing it pre-training, because they're not going to change. I mean, they're going to, if you take your IGF levels now and then go to every other day, I guarantee you they're within
he is every other day
to each other.
Yeah,
is he?
Yeah, he's every other day, and he's using the peptides on the opposite days.
Yeah, I would just use the GH. If you're going to run the insulin, run it, and the MK, you could leave it in. I mean, it's doing more than those peptides. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I have very, outside of LR3 and Increlex and stuff, I mean, there's not too many of them. I've never been, I mean, I messed around with those things for years, and it was like, okay, this really isn't doing much for me. I could just...
All right.
And how I felt and everything, what my physique was doing.
Okay. And he does have LR3 in it, so he's got those three things. I'm sure that his IGF levels are through the roof.
Yeah, and you got to be careful. I mean, Humulin-R, if you're doing pre-workout, I mean, I would probably... Just have the carbs to cover in case when you use it post-workout, if you do it that way. Because okay. Humulin-R has got a pretty long, decent half-life, much longer than Humalog. So.
Unless he's injecting it IM.
Well, you would just inject it IM.
He's using Humulin, right?
Yeah.
Humulin-R.
Yeah, Humulin-R IM. Okay, I just want to make sure.
Oh, I don't know. I'm talking about the IGF. I don't know how he's doing the Humulin-R. Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I would, that kind of protocol, I would say be cautious. Don't, you know, use it when you need it, but don't sit there and live on it for the whole year because it's going to come back to bite you in the ass.
Okay. Dr. Scott Stevenson had been talking not too long ago about Humulin-R, saying that if you do use it IM, that it acts much more like Humalog. Is that right, Skip? Like that's where you're going with that?
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah, that's what I was getting. I mean, it still is gonna hang around for a little while, but I mean, Humulin-R injected IM versus sub Q is night and day.
Yep. Yeah, I've never used it IM. I've only used it ever, subcutaneous with all my insulin. It's the only thing I've ever done sub Q only. But yeah, that's what I've heard. I'm interested.
Yeah, I tell my clients because a lot of them insist on wanting to use Humalog, but the process of getting Humalog because you need a script is it'll get sent, you know, you got to order it, it'll be sent to you. It's just kind of a risk. I understand it's only insulin, so it's not like anybody's going to probably go to jail for insulin, but at the same time, it's quality control. You don't know where that Humalog is sitting, how long it's sitting, you know, what factors are playing into whether it'll degrade or not when you can just go to, I mean, shit, you can go to any Walmart pharmacy and buy Novalin-R for $25.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the generic for Humulin. Humulin, you go buy a bottle of Humulin-R at Walmart and it's between $170 and $200.
Yeah.
So there's no sense using Humulin if you don't have to or Humulin-R. But, you know, when you know that the quality control is good if you go buy it from a pharmacy and then you take it home and, you know whether you're storing it correctly. So it's going to, you know, stay active for quite a while. You're not going to get something that might not be or something that may have degraded to some degree.
Yeah. All right. So we had a couple more questions that we'll get to on the next episode. Let them build back up. Guys, we'd love to have you participate. I'd love to do another call-in segment on the next episode. So we will prepare for that. And, you know, we'll look for a thread over at the Instagram page at Advices Radio Network. Skip, you I know you're not eating really much outside of waffles and stuff, but are you going to the gym still, or did you just stop training too? Okay. Wow.
Nope. Stop training and eating like shit. What I'm looking for is we're going to go out of town on Wednesday to, ooh, Wisconsin because my daughter starts nursing school.
Oh, good for her.
So we're going to visit her for a couple of days and we're going to go to Michigan. My wife's mother has gotten some, not so good news about, her battle with cancer. It has now shown up on her liver, which is not good. So we're going to spend a couple days there. Yeah, it's not, certainly not very good news. When we get back from there, it's possible I'll jump back in the gym at that point. But we do turn around in another week and a half after that and leave for New York City for our 25th wedding anniversary, which was the 15th. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm going to wait until I get back from New York City. Right now, I'm just letting my blood reset and doing nothing. And what that usually does, I don't do this very often, but what it usually does is it resets my brain, and psychologically when I do get back in, I'm ready to roll. But right now I'm kind of pulling the Kevin Lavroni thing and just staying away from all things bodybuilding other than work. And when I get back in, it'll be, you know, 100% again. So going back in for a week and a half in between trips isn't my idea of awesomeness. So right. I don't, I'm probably not going to do that. I'm probably going to wait, but I am itching. I'm starting to, you know, I'm getting to the point where I don't like not being out of the gym. I don't like the way I look. And, you know, I've got all this time on my hands. So I'm, you know, that's why I'm binge watching shows. And I find myself anxious going, you know, don't I need to do that? No, I don't need to do that. So I have a lot of downtime and I'm getting anxious.
Yeah. I feel like I couldn't do that. I feel like I need to get in. I have a hard time right now. I'm having a hard time just taking one day off, even when I feel crippled. I feel like I could do that for a few days. And then after that, I'd have to go, even if it was just like a light full body workout and I didn't enjoy myself. I'm on the opposite end of things though. Things are building for me right now. It's coming together. I'm feeling pretty decent. When are you going to be in Michigan, Skip?
I will be there, late Sunday night, and I'll be there Monday and Tuesday. So I'm only going to be there for about 2 full days. And I think it's something too. I'm glad that you actually brought this up because it's something that has bothered me, and I've had conversations with my wife about it. It seems like the only time that I go back to Michigan is when something is wrong. And we decided that we do need to change that. You know, just as an example, we're only going this time because of her mother.
Yeah.
So I probably won't see, you know, my dad too much. When I was back with my son, I was only there for a couple of days. It wasn't necessarily negative because I was there to get the car, but it was a pretty quick turnaround. We just need to be able to go. So I think we're going to go over Christmas.
Oh, really?
I think we're going to be there for about a week, 8 days, maybe 9 because I'm pretty sure we'll fly. But yeah, we're pretty well set on that. I'd say we're probably about 90%. So, ooh. During that time, you know, I'll have much more time to just have fun instead of be there. You know, hopefully her mother is still doing well and that sort of thing. There's always things that can change. But I had already thought, I'm like, well, I'm going to let it get close. I'm not going to say anything to Scott.
Yeah.
But I did. And then that way it would be more, you know, much more likely that I would have fun time to spend running around and not feel guilty.
Eat some food with me.
Get some
gym time in. It'd be fun, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't even know if I'd be able to catch up with you if you were going to be here, because I know Tuesday morning, first thing, we are taking off for Pittsburgh, so for North Americans. So it's going to be a whirlwind once Lindsay gets in town this Friday. And I'm hoping I might be home at Christmas time. Yeah, outside of when I lived out of state, I've always, you know, spent time with my family at Christmas. But I really would like to try, you know, your deal. Get away, go on a vacation during Christmas. And I might actually do that. We're kind of tossing around ideas of going somewhere that's like really a vacation, like a cheap Mexico trip or something. Or there maybe go to, you know, Venice Beach and spend the week, you know, lifting some weights in the sun.
Well, I do have an apartment here in Fort Lauderdale that will be vacated. Just saying. Now, you're not on the beach, but you're only a mile and a half from the beach,
Close. There's a lot I can do there, too. And visit you go visit Scott Stevenson and a bunch of other people down there, too. There's so much going on, man. I feel like it's the hot spot to be. I kind of want to move to Florida if I move somewhere. That's where I'd want to go.
I'll be there Christmas. So
you'll be in Florida? Here?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Where?
Jupiter Island.
Oh, nice. Jesus Christ, for real?
Every Christmas.
Are your parents from there?
I'm sorry, every other. My in-laws live on Jupiter
Island. That's crazy. That's one of the highest real estate areas in the country. That's
really?
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they live right down the road from Tiger Woods.
Yeah, it's very, holy shit. You said that, I was like, what?
Oh, it's very poverty stricken, let me tell you.
Is this an island that do they have just homes on it, or are there like stores and stuff too?
Nah. Well, there's so when you go over the intercoastal onto the island, there's a road you can go left. It goes down to like the marina and stuff where like the fishing, offshore fishing boats are, people's boats and stuff. And then where people come in from the intercoastal or come from the ocean in. And then there's a road called, it's Ocean or Beach Boulevard, I can't remember, that runs up the coast of the out, you know, the east side of the island, and that's where, and it dead ends. So there's like every house out there is like I don't know, 50, 70,000 square feet. They all have, like, Tiger's got 50 acres. And they're, I mean, there's like big gold entrances, like gates, and they got helicopter pads. And there's more Rolls Royces you ever seen in your life there.
That's crazy.
And, but there's a restaurant they opened on the Intercoastal on the west side of the island. It's a kind of a, you know, it's kind of a trendy kind of hangout. I don't remember the name of the place. We went there, and like all the, you'll see a lot of the PGA golfers there because a bunch of them live there.
Hmm.
You know, I go play some golf and act like I belong, you know, kind of cleaned up a little bit.
Jupiter's real nice too, though, even aside from Jupiter Island. It's obviously not to that level, but it's still nice.
It is right on the near the Intercoastal, and kind of that way there's a Home Depot like towards the Intercoastal, but Jupiter's got it's got some places that are so. I mean, it's, you know, normal housing. I shouldn't say so, but you know, it has kind of a mix,
right?
You know, but I usually drive down. I got a buddy in Delray Beach. I'll go down there and see him. We'll go to that, like, that square where all like Tom and all that stuff.
Yeah, I know your buddy.
Yeah, I know. He's the one that was reaching up somebody's pants, I think.
Yeah. I was in Delray with my wife about three weeks ago, and I really liked it. I hadn't been there before, but I liked it. That's where all the restaurants downtown turn into nightclubs at night.
Huh.
Yep. Through there, he's got two Lamborghinis. So, you know, can drive around there. Yeah, it's interesting. It's a pretty cool area. I mean, it's pretty close to the beach. I mean, I never walked out to the beach, but you can feel the air and everything coming off the beach. I'll be down there.
Cool.
It's Christmas. Yeah, Chris, we fly into Miami, which is always great. Experience Florida's awful traffic and horrible roads. But
yep. See, I don't think the roads are all that bad. Well, Colorado is better, but I grew up in Michigan, and Michigan is horrible.
Are we? Comparatively?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matter of fact, in 13, when we were back for our anniversary, we did a motorcycle trip. We took our motorcycles to Michigan, and I had a Rigid, and I thought I was going to fucking die riding those roads on a Rigid. Oh, my God.
Especially depends on the time of the year. If you come in, like, and I'm sure you remember, after like it thaws out in the spring, that's when it's the worst, because the freezes and stuff all winter long have cracked the road up. There's literally potholes that are, you know, 2-3 feet wide that go 2-3 feet deep sometimes. I mean, they will destroy your car. And in the city of Detroit, it's even worse, because there'll be cracked water mains that they never fix. And they just kind of flood areas constantly, and it stays flood, or the sewage is bad, and so it just kind of floods over, and it won't drain, and you literally have to like make a U-turn in the middle of the road and find another road in the city itself. It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, I went to Ford Field one time, and it's rough down there. I don't know if it has gotten any better in the last handful of years, but I was surprised, and I grew up in Michigan, so it's not like I didn't know what Detroit looked like, but I got to tell you, it was bad.
It's better than it was about 10 years ago. They've gotten rid of a lot of the abandoned homes. They've bulldozed them. So it's weird, because you'll see a lot of vacant fields, but they're getting ready, I think, you know, for a big transformation, because property value is so low. You know, big places are coming in, and they're setting up to, kind of bring the rich people in.
Urban really. Renewal.
Exactly. Yep, urban renewal. Yeah.
All right.
We watched, what was that show that we like, that takes place like kind of in the hood with the Gallaghers.
Oh, Shameless.
Yes. Yeah. Like the Shameless neighborhood kind of.
Yep.
Never heard of it.
Of course you didn't. You'd have to watch TV.
Doesn't watch TV. Yeah, right. Exactly. It's not on the outdoor channel.
All right, guys. Well, hope everybody enjoyed this. We should put another contest together soon. Let's shoot for that. Let's do another contest for the next episode, and we'll put up a thread to bring the shout outs back for the next one too. How's that sound?
Word.
You all probably right. Need to put up a thread to come up with the contest. Do you have one in mind?
Let's think about it. Let's talk. We will let's talk about it. We'll figure out a good one, and we'll go from there. All right, guys, for another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear with Skip Hill and S2H, brought to you by TeamSkip.com. We will see you soon.
Out.
Come with me. Hail Mary, run quick, see what do we have here now? I ain't a killer, but don't push me. Revenge is like the sweetest joy next to getting pussy. Picture paragraphs unloaded, wise words being quoted. Beat the weakness in the rap game and sold it. Bow down, pray to God, hoping that he's listening. See a nigga that's coming for me. My diamonds when they glisten. Now pay attention, bless me, please, Father. I'm a ghost. These killing fields, Hail Mary, catch me if I go.
Advices Radio.